Have you ever been involved with something that at the time that of your involvement, you didn't realize that you were really getting into something that ended up being pretty big? 1977, January the 24th, Daryl and I started work at IGC. Three little units, power plants, 90 megawatts apiece. About three and a half million tons of coal went to run those units in a year. Where I left, we were mining 20 million tons because there had been another power plant that was built, another one being built in the process, and by the time that Daryl left, there was about 30 million tons that needed to be mined in a year in order to keep it going. It grew. It just got bigger. City of Taylor. One day you might be able to say, I remember back the city of Taylor when it was just a little city. And of course, with the Samsung deal that's been made, there's a possibility that this little city will not be a little city anymore. Leave it to you to say whether that's good or bad. And it may be with this congregation that you might say one day, I remember when there was just about 20 of us. And now there's 200. Possibility. We just don't know. And I bring those things out because we don't know the future. We talked about that this morning to some extent. And sometimes when we involve ourselves in things, we just don't realize that on occasion, in that involvement, it grows into something that is just so much bigger. So much bigger. And I believe that there needs to be an appreciation for that, especially from the spiritual aspect in connection with the church, the city, Foursquare. And our involvement in that, and we're going to look at the impact of our involvement in that, of what we really are involved in being part of the Lord's church. And hopefully what that will do is give us an appreciation for being part of that, part of that city, Foursquare. Just how big a thing we are involved in when we are members of the body of Christ, when we are children of God. Think about it from the standpoint, first of all, of prophecy. And when we think about it from that particular standpoint, we look back to Zechariah, the first chapter, verse 16 and 17, and there God says through Zechariah, well, let me get back to where I was. I'm returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. And this being, of course, messianic in nature and in reference to Jerusalem here, that is in connection with, of course, the church. And what he says here is that, first of all, I'm going to survey, set out the surveyor's line. And that will be laying that city out the way that God has intended for it to be laid out. And as we look in Zechariah, the second chapter, verses 1 through 5, the Lord says, then I raised my, through Zechariah, Zechariah speaking, then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? He said to me, to measure Jerusalem to see what is its width and what is its length. And there was an angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. But again, a measuring line went out in connection with what God was intending to build. And we understand as we look at this, and we're going to, I think, see it clearly as we get into this lesson, the involvement in the city Foursquare is not measured out by man as far as his wants and desires are concerned, but it's measured out by God and the planner and designer being God of what it must be and what it truly is. We think about its engineering, the city Foursquare. And we look to Isaiah 28 chapter verse 16, and there it says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." And when we look at that, we understand then that the engineering that takes place is by the design of God. And so the Hebrew writer later on, in trying to encourage the Jews not to leave Christ, Hebrews 11 chapter and verse 10 says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God," that is, by God's plan. Hebrews 11, verse 16, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city." He's prepared for them a city. It is that engineering that is by God. Verse 14 of chapter 13 of Hebrews, the writer says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." And if you think about that standpoint, cities have come and gone in this world. We may look back also at some point in time and say, we remember when Taylor was little, when Taylor got big, and now Taylor is no more. We don't know. My grandfather, when he was a young man, before he married, from age 17 into his early 20s, pretty well walked all of Texas. And he said one of his favorite towns in all of Texas was the bustling city of Bokis. And there is nothing but an old church that's there now, really.
They don't even use that.
And not even used anymore, Darrell says. But it was a bustling city. It was one of his favorite towns. And just no more. That's not going to be the case with this city four square that is designed by the Maker, that has a foundation that is tried and precious and true, because it will be a continuing or an ever-abiding city. And that means even after this existence is over. We look at its perfection in construction. Revelation 21 verse 16, "The city is laid out as a square, its length is as great as its breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal." And I will add to that, the only structure, because it is the spiritual one, that whose maker is God, the only structure that is of perfection, and its engineering is sure, its construction is sure. And it measures exactly four square. We think about that city four square, which we will represent by a square. And we see that in order to build any city, to build any structure, there has to be an alignment. And this alignment is spoken of in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 19 through 21. It says there, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Beverly and I have a little corner unit that is in our house. And we have lived in several houses over the years. And that corner unit never fit in the corner properly in any of those houses. The houses were off square. Every room, every place we tried it was off square. With the exception where we have it right now, we found a square in the area that it's in. It's still not perfect because it's physical. But the fact is that what the cornerstone was used for, going back over the years, of course, was to put the building, that which was being built, in perfect alignment, in at least two directions. And if you got that, well, then you can make a good alignment, a perfect alignment, as far as humanly possible for the remainder of the building. And that's what Jesus is as the cornerstone. And along with that, of course, the teaching of the apostles and the prophets, and that there is no alignment if they are not all present in a body that calls himself after God, after Christ Jesus. But the alignment is there, and provided by God, and that alignment is perfect. whenever it is followed. And Jesus Christ sets forth that alignment. The perfect alignment is based on the standard of knowledge. And we see that presented to us in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 21. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with the might through His Spirit in the inner man." And I'll have you notice that when we're talking about the city four square, we're not talking about a physical location, but we're talking about a spiritual relationship. And it's not only those that are living here upon this earth, but also those that have gone on to their reward. And that is exactly what Paul has mentioned here in verse 15. And he says in verse 16 that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with His might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that walks in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here we have the desire for this apostle, through the teaching of the Word, for us to understand exactly and be able to comprehend perfectly what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. And there he's talking about the knowledge that God has given to us through the Word. And we can do that. But it is the standard. It is like the laser beam of today that goes out to keep things in alignment. The string line of days of old, the plumb line of days of old, to keep things in alignment. And there's four aspects that are there which really make up the whole of the entity that is being spoken of, and I will apply it to the city four square. We're going to see how that works now. First of all, in order for that city four square to be four square and in alignment properly, Mark writes, and this of course is Jesus' words, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." And again, we mentioned earlier that there are four aspects, four elements of that alignment and knowledge, that standard that is set forth: breadth, length, depth, and height. And so the first one, I think, comes from Mark 12 and verse 30 here. You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart. That puts you then in alignment, because Paul says in Romans 6 and verse 17, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." People can go through the motions and still not be in alignment with God. People can do acts of worship and not be in alignment with God. People can render obedience by being baptized, but yet not be in alignment with God spiritually. But when their heart is there, that is obedience from the heart, Romans 6 and verse 17, they're following after that first element of alignment, obeying God from the heart and all that He has to say. We see also in verse 30, the second part, Mark 12, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul." With all your soul. And the Hebrew writer, I believe, comments on this. And he says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him," God says. "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." And when we look at that, there is not that drawing back, but another element of that alignment that shows that truly we are following the plan by the Maker, and part of it, which is much bigger than ourselves, comes about by following God with the love that we have from the depths of our being, our soul. We also see in Mark 12 and verse 30, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your mind." With all your mind. And I think back to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 4, in connection with this, and that alignment that is there to make up this whole, which is the city four square. And there, Paul says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, be like-minded, having the same love, be like-minded," he says. being of one accord and of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but look also on the interest of others. So you have there, of course, that particular thought then that keeps us in that alignment that has been established and set forth by Jesus Christ, the foundation, with the teaching that came about by the apostles and prophets, which we have, of course, preserved for us through God's Word. But then we also see that fourth element that is there. And that fourth element is stated in Mark 12 and verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your strength. And it really ties all the others together, all the heart, all the soul, all the mind, and now all the strength that is the total being of man. And whenever I look in Colossians 3 and verse 17, Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then you go down to verse 23, and Paul continues and says, whatever you do, do it heartily, that is with strength, as to the Lord and not to men. And that as to the Lord, of course, qualifies that particular element of all thy strength to show that it is in the alignment of which God gives us instruction through his word. And then we have love thy neighbor as thyself. And we see that in verse 31. And in James, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9, and also 12 and 13, James says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over justice or judgment. As we look at that, we see that alignment in connection with the way that we look at others. Our desire for them to hear the truth, our desire for them to do good, our desire to do good to them, so that they will come to the Lord. And that is part of that alignment also. And then we see it all tied together because what we are involved in is the wisdom of God. Maybe when you were baptized, your first thoughts were becoming a Christian. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And as time has gone on, maybe you've started to realize I'm involved in something bigger than just a small group. I'm involved in something that is bigger than all the Lord's churches on the earth. I'm involved in something that is heaven-based. I'm involved in something that is truly showing forth God's wisdom by being part of that. And so we read in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 8 through 12, Paul says, to me who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Paul, what is that mystery that you're speaking of there in verse 10? Verse 10, he says, or rather in verse 9, verse 10 is the answer. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known or shown by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. I have to confess ignorance. Wherever I look at verse 12, at the mention of the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, I don't know who Paul is referring to there. I don't know. But I do know that and understand the scene that is being set forth, that even if it is in a metaphorical sense, what God is saying to whoever these principalities and powers are that are in the heavenly places, you see the wisdom. You see the wisdom of the city four square. You see the wisdom of my called out body. You see the wisdom of that. It supplies all that is needed because they love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. And they love their neighbors as themselves. And so every aspect of what they do, don't you see, heavenly beings, that my wisdom has shown forth the completeness and the perfection of the structure of the city four square. And we are involved in that. It's not about just the little church in Taylor here, the little congregation here. But we're involved in something that is so much greater. As we think about that, we stand not before what man has built, but before God's building. And we look over in Hebrews 12, verses 22 through 25. You have come, and this is what we are all standing before as children of God. You have come to Mount Zion. And Mount Zion has been used in Scripture quite often, not in connection with the Holy Land, as it is called, but rather that abiding city. Heavenly Jerusalem, as we're going to be seeing, the city four square. And to the city of the living God. Not man, but the city of the living God. You have come also to the heavenly Jerusalem. And there, of course, we have that aspect of thinking back about Jerusalem and the glory and the splendor that it had at one time with God's temple being there. And the power that was shown throughout the earth and the wisdom that was shown throughout the earth in the days of Solomon. Which, by the way, went away in Jerusalem. And he says, but you've also come to the innumerable company of messengers, angels. And I think back to that, and I remember even at the birth of Christ Jesus, those innumerable company of angels sang praises concerning the coming of Messiah. He had been born on earth. And now I think about this in connection with the city four square and us being part of that. And they're singing and praising unto God because of His manifold wisdom that we are part of that. And to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven or written in heaven. Oh, we're involved in so much bigger than just right here in Taylor, aren't we? Well, I've got my name in the directory. Well, that's wonderful. Got my name on the privilege roster. That's wonderful. Ladies say, well, I teach class back there, and that's recognized, and that's wonderful. But those that are Christians, those that are really following that alignment of God in the city four square, their names are written in heaven, recorded, registered, known by God. So much bigger. And then he says, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. In other words, we've come to something that is bigger than possibly we ever thought of when we first became children of God, because it goes back to the very foundation of what has been made concerning the redemption of man before the foundation of the world, and we're involved in that today. See then, he says in verse 25, that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. There were those that lost their lives by not listening to God. When we look back in the Old Testament, there were those that lost their lives because they did not stay in alignment whenever the city four square was established in Jerusalem. Ananias and Sapphira. There were those that gave their lives afterward because they were in alignment with the Lord, and we have studied about those. But what he says here is, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. And it is deity that speaks in connection with the alignment of the city four square, whose names are written in heaven, those that are living and those that have passed from this life, but yet still part of that which is so much bigger than just a little congregation here in Taylor. And so I ask you, this afternoon, would you be part of this? Sandy, if you'd come on up. Greg, if you'd be ready. Would you like to be part of something that's just really big? And I'll tell you, that statement doesn't do justice to what the city four square is. There is a preeminence that is there. There is a glory that is there. There is a hope that is there. There are the blessings that are there. And the reason being is because it is the manifold wisdom of God, that relationship. Would you like to be in that relationship this afternoon? If you're not a child of God, by faith, understand that there is a requirement from God that is His alignment to be part of that city four square. And coupled with that, of course, is the humility that one must show. I can't save myself. I can't give myself really promises that extend past this life. And as a matter of fact, any promises that I make in this life could very well be dashed. I don't know what is going to happen, but I know this, that I can count on my Lord. Will you have that penitent attitude? Will you name the name of Christ Jesus, making a commitment to Him? I've committed to myself, but I'm still lacking. That should be your attitude. But I'll commit to the Lord and name His name and be obedient unto Him unto baptism. In the likeness of death, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And then I will be walking in His alignment, being taught by the apostles and the prophets through God's Word, and I will give glory to Him. Don't you want to be involved in something big, huge? Matter of fact, the most important thing. Don't you want that? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.